Get out of here. Please, please have a seat unless you want to stand through the whole sermon. And people behind you won't be able to see, and they'll thank you for that. You know, not being able to see me is a great blessing. Y'all go on your smoke break now. You'll be back later. Yeah, I've saved one. Really. All right, now, when Dale mentions that I've been with you since the Y, you can tell I've spent a lot of time in Y's. And I think it's the only time I've been to the Y, come to think of it, except to criticize the people in there. But it's just great to be back and just continue to see what God's doing here at the Crossing. It's magnificent. And I mean, back when I first started, y'all didn't have smoke machines. I told them, you really need to get those. You see, they took my advice. They cut them off when I stand up to speak, which kind of hurts my feelings. The band gets all the smoke. The clear message is the spirit is departed. Now it's time for Reggie. And a lot of times I am asked to talk about the church. I mean, this is the only place I'm called to, whatever Dale used. I usually church genius. That's not exactly the phrase most people use. It's more like persecutor or, you know, conspirator. But I don't want to talk about church corporate today. I want to just talk to you. I feel really compelled as I thought about my time with you just to, you know, find out why you came here. And for some of us here, we brought in some stuff that's really eating at us. And while the praise is great and other people seem to be having a really good time, there's just something that's gnawing at our soul. I don't know what that is, but I know that some of you are carrying burdens like that. Some of these burdens have become travelers. They've been with you so long. Maybe the people that rode with you here don't even know about it. Something really deep and personal. And my hope is that that you'll leave without it. My hope, my prayer, and my confidence is that if you'll do what this guy did in the story that I'm going to tell you about, you can go home different. You can leave something here that you don't have to pick up again. Let's take a look at this episode out of Jesus' life. I want you to know he's just finished preaching his big magnum opus, his Sermon on the Mount. I mean, it was a long one. And they're through, and so we have this on the way to the parking lot. The Jesus coming down from the mountainside with the large crowds following him, because that's how you get down from a mountainside. And a man with leprosy came. Now look at this. This is a guy that breaks through the crowd. Security's lax. Jesus has finished preaching. He's supposed to be ferreted away now. And he's confronted with this guy with leprosy who comes and kneels before him, says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand, touched the man. I'm willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately, he was cleansed of his leprosy. Take a look at the guy in this story, this leper. Now, you probably know some stuff about leprosy, what a hideous disease. And for most of human history, it's been the only way to deal. We've dealt with it before. We had cures and medicines to treat it. It was just because we were afraid of it, because it was so hideous. We just quarantined people with it. Put them in leper colonies so that they couldn't come in contact with anybody else. In fact, it was considered, in Jesus' time, it was considered a sign of God's disfavor. It was so hideous that surely God had to make this judgment call on someone to carry this disease. And while a lot of you are familiar with the debilitating impact of it, the hands are shriveled, the cartilage gives way, it really does. It's not a skin disease. It manifests in the skin, but it's really it attacks the nervous system. And the reason people's hands get hurt is they lose feeling. So they hurt their hands and they don't even know. They don't feel pain. They don't feel anything. So literally their capacity to engage just dwindles. And over time that has its impact. And at another time maybe we could talk about the fact that if we can't feel pain, that happens to us too. See, pain has a useful, escape all pain is not necessarily the way to grow. But this guy has been pronounced by the religious leaders of his day as an unclean person. That's a technical phrase there. When he used that, you know, you might think, why didn't you say, can you heal me, make me clean? Because he had to declare to people around him, lest they come in contact with what he had to tell people, call out, unclean, unclean. He couldn't come within 6 feet of another person. If the wind was blowing, I don't know how they figured all this, it had to be 150 feet, was as close as he, 30 yards was as close as he could get to someone. So here is a literal outcast. You just don't sink lower than a leper in this culture. And yet he does this incredible, puts all of that, you say he has nothing to lose. Yeah, he's had plenty left to lose, let me tell you. But the boldness of his action to push through to get to Jesus, kneels in front of him, probably 6 feet away, I don't know, probably that respectful initially. And he doesn't make any claim. He makes, no, Lord, if you'll heal me, I'll go on a speaking tour and we can make the really good stuff out of this. He doesn't say it would be in your best interest to follow up a sermon with something really helpful. I mean, you know, he doesn't do any kind of any of that. Lord, if you want to. And notice he doesn't even question whether Jesus can do this or not. This is not a question of Jesus' competency. This is a question about Jesus' compassion. If you want to, you can make me clean. And my hunch is that, you know, that may be where a bunch of us are right now. You're not questioning here. You would be here to question God's ability, but maybe you are wondering about his compassion. Well, be encouraged by Jesus in the story then. I mean, Jesus, I know he's just finished preaching, or he probably would have been expanded on his, I mean, look how just, I'm willing, be clean. I mean, this didn't take long. And but he probably, if he hadn't just spent it all writing Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you know, because those are long chapters, and he knows he's into Matthew 8 now, so this got to be quick. And so just a little segue. And so, you know, he probably would have said, are you kidding? If I'm willing, why do you think I came this way? Why do you think I came all the way? We were just saying about it. He brought heaven down here. Jesus probably said, you're the reason I'm here, man. This is what I came for. You are what I came for. And he may have wanted to kind of open up to say, don't you get this? We didn't intend for you to live like this. This is the ravages of a fallen world. And I'm here to reverse it. I mean, I don't know what we're coming up on Easter. We're going to celebrate the Passion and the Resurrection. Do you know what brought Jesus to? I mean, it's not like he saw the movie and wanted that role. He is the guy that creates the whole story. There is an anti-life kingdom that wars against the kingdom of God. It is an epic struggle that is underneath every single aspect of our reality, and Jesus has come to restore, to take back the stuff this usurper, this loathsome enemy of your soul, who wants to drain life out of you. Anything that diminishes our life is the stuff that he fabricates, and Jesus has come as the conquering king to say, no, that's not going to be the final word on this. You betcha I'm willing, or else I wouldn't be here. And then look what Jesus does. I mean, he could have said, so be clean, he did. And there are plenty of examples where Jesus you know, long distance healing. It's not like Jesus has to, you know, be right there. He's God and all that. He reaches out. What does he do? Touches him to prove his compassion. How long has it been since that man felt somebody touch him? Maybe there's a wife and kids that can't touch him anymore. So Jesus touches him. Be clean. What a powerful. And by the way, he breaks the law to do it to show he's a. He breaks the law to do it to say that religion is what separates people. But I'm bigger than that. I had a guy last night talk to me after our second service, and he says, I don't know what to do, but I'm struggling with Christianity. I said, good, but this is not about that. This is between you and Jesus. Let's just call it out. Christianity, the stuff that we put, hey, I'm telling you, Jesus is in this room right now. We can't hide behind anything. He's not looking, it's between you and him. Because this is where you get in the story. Because you see, that man in the story with that disease, the Bible actually uses leprosy as an example of what sin does to us. It eats at us. It gnaws at us. We waste away, literally. That stuff that we, you know, we call sin, and it's not a popular word, but sin is anything that diminishes the life in us, a spirit of unforgiveness or judgment or hopes that are dashed or the stuff that just knocks the joy out of our life. That's all of that. Is sin. Because it's against what God has in mind for you, for us. Because Jesus said, I've come to give you life. Hot dog. And not just any kind of life. He backs up, in case we miss, abundant life. I mean full life. Life to the full. Oh, man. So I don't know what's eating at you. But I do know that Jesus has come your way today. And he is willing to take whatever that is, to touch it, and give you freedom from it, and make you whole. Now, if you wonder how he's going to do it, give up on that. If you were God, you'd know. But since we're not, and he is, can I just tell you, he may surprise you with the way he deals with making you whole. Just like in this leper's case, this progressive disease, he heals instantly. There are other times where he heals and the healing itself is progressive. In this case, just to show everybody the absolute power of what he could do, he takes a progressive and he heals it immediately. The guy's restored immediately. He's going to take him 7 days to convince the priests. I know what he had to go through to go back and say, look, I'm clean. They still pinned him up for 7 more days, I promise you. But he was free and cleansed immediately. You can be too. In your case, whatever it is, what pain, what disappointment, what haunts you, what keeps you from being fully alive, maybe it's a first ever decision by you to just give up trying to be God and just throwing yourself into Jesus' arms and say, I'm going to follow you. Just here I am. What a great decision that would be. Changes everything. But even those of us who've been following Jesus down the mountain, been hanging out with him for a while, maybe you need his touch too. So I'm going to just give you that chance. We've got some time here. I'm not going to embarrass you. We're not going to ask you to come up one at a time and share with you your deepest hurts. It's not this. That's not how we do things here. But I do want to give you time to find yourself touched by Jesus, to be aware that he's here and he's waiting. And I'm going to ask you just to be bold enough to push your way in your mind, in your heart, push your way. Forget everybody. Get past the crowd. It's you in front of Jesus. And I'm going to ask you to have the courage just to throw this need at him. And then imagine, because it will... By imagine, I don't mean an imaginary. Just feel him touch you and make you whole. You can do that right where you are. Some of you may need to hear someone pray with you about that. You need to feel that touch. So we have pastors here. We have praying people here. Will be here at the front. If coming through the crowd means you got to get up from where you are, if that's great, that's fine. Others of you stay right where you are. You deal with Jesus. Let me just pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for being here, for coming all this way to meet us, to meet me. And thank you for your compassion that waits on us, on my brothers and sisters here. I pray they will have the courage right now and the boldness to ask you to do something profound in them. Just remain in that spirit. If you need to pray down here at the front, you can. If there's someone else you need to talk to here, go get them. This is just you and Jesus.
Wrestling with all doubt, fearing my own heart, will you come find me here where I'm hiding, uncovering slowly the pride that's abiding? Will you still love me?
So many of us, this is the first time that we have slowed down this week. It's the first time that you've had an opportunity to just be in the presence of the Lord. And so we want to give you that right now. And so for those of you that just need to stay and appreciate the presence of God, to talk to Him, to be in that space, we want you to stay and make this room your own and be with God. For those of you that need to pray with someone, and as the Bible says, to have someone agree with you in the Spirit, there will be your pastors and ministers, people who love you and who are safe up here that you can pray with. And for the rest of you that God has spoken, that you've connected and you're ready to go and carry on with what He has for you, do that. You can do that too. You are free to leave. But if as you leave, if you would stay in the Spirit, and if you would just say a prayer for the people who are still here praying on your way out, your brothers and sisters, that would be a beautiful way to honor one another today. May God bless you and keep you. May His face shine brightly upon you and give you peace today.